Welcome this morning. It's good to be with you and to see you out there. I know that when I talk to Greg, which is quite often, he loves you. And so I know, isn't he? He's just one of those people, isn't he? He and Bev together, but we know he is a treasure. So we're going to start with a little something that might sound familiar. Ready? Okay, 'twas days before Christmas, and all through the town, not a sign of baby Jesus anywhere to be found. All the people were busy with Christmas time chores, like decorating, baking, and shopping in stores. So away to the mall, they all flew like a flash, buying some things on credit and others on cash. As they made their way home from their trip to the mall, did they think about Jesus? Oh no, not at all. Their lives were so busy with Christmas time things, consumed with the parties and items they'll bring. From online shopping to storms at the mall, they rush away, and visit the mall. At home, on the roof, there rose such a clatter as they hung lights and more lights with their brand new stepladder. And the more that they did, the more they complained. Why do I do this to myself? What's wrong with my brain? If you feel this now, with a few weeks to spare, you're headed for breaking point, so please be aware. Instead of being busy, overworked, and uptight, take it easy this season, and you might be all right. If you don't, you're risking that you might go numb. Overdoing it at Christmas is simply wisdom. So, okay, it's fun, but how true is this, right? If you think about it, some of us just really love to go all out at Christmas. And if I were to walk into your home, would I think this is, wow, this is really nice? Or I'd be like, whoa, Christmas threw up in here, right? So the first step is admitting that you might have a problem with overdoing it. We know that admission is always a good step. But some of us have things to do. So as we go into week two of our Christmas series on wisdom and looking at the foolishness that can grab us at Christmas time, we want to kind of take a step into the area of overdoing it. So how many of you, by show of hands, have all your Christmas shopping done? I mean, I don't, but good job. Good job. How many of you will still shop on Christmas Eve? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Sometimes we like to prepare, and others of us like to just keep it going to the last minute. And some people hang more lights than humanly possible, and we clutter up with all of our decorations. We probably go to a couple too many parties, and we always try to one-up the other person that brings the dessert that we think we could do better, right? We do a lot. And what's worse is we often think we do it better, and we think we should. And then we get to that point where we start to say, why do I do this to myself? And how can I do things differently? So, as a backdrop to our series, we've been looking at Psalm 23. And last week we looked at, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Maybe you remember that. Well, this week we're going to continue then on to the second part of this verse, which says this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Okay, so Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down. So when you think of green pastures, maybe you think of, sorry, I forget that I have this. Maybe you think of this, right? So green pastures, we're Midwest people. Maybe you didn't necessarily start here, but you're here now. So we understand what green fields should look like. I mean, all you have to do is drive north a little bit, right? Open fields, rolling hills, makes you just want to like spread out a blanket, maybe not in December, and be outside, but you get the drift, right? And so, but the area around Bethlehem where David would have grown up looked kind of like this, right? And so as you think about it, David's saying, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I mean, wow. So there were seasons of rain in this area, and honestly, we don't know what it looked like when David was around. This is kind of what it looks like now. And so as you think about it, David, a shepherd, when he was growing up, as he writes this psalm, is remembering what it was like to be in the green pastures. He knew what it would have been like to search for just enough grass to get his sheep what they need. It wasn't probably an overabundance, but they had enough. And in the evening then, as a shepherd, he would find a spot that would be safe and pretty enclosed so that he could keep all of his sheep together during the night and then protect them. It's a beautiful image of shepherds, right? Not only do they care and provide, as we talked about last week, I'm sure you did too, but now it's, now let's rest in what I have created for you. And it changes the perspective that we think about. So as we think that we have all we need, then he provides a pasture of care so that we can rest. Now, this isn't a season that some of you even rest in. You're too busy. You forget that you can just sit and look at the twinkle lights, and that's okay. Or you can just sit with your coffee in the morning and look around. But for some of you, the one thing that you really, really, really need is just some rest. But if you notice in this verse, it says, he makes me lie down. So it's not like David was all about rest either. You get the impression that David had to be made to be still, as maybe some of you need to be made to be still. Now, I know next to nothing about sheep. Maybe we have a sheep person here who could help us. But in this book by Philip Keller called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, he gives three reasons why sheep have trouble falling asleep. The first one, if they're anxious. Now, I don't know how you know if sheep are anxious, but they don't like to sleep when they're a little stressed out. So how about you? When you're a little stressed out and a little anxious, is it hard to fall asleep? Does your mind start to make a list for tomorrow or go back over the things you forgot to do today? And in this season of hustle and bustle and all the things that happen, we can put a lot of stuff on our plate that maybe we really don't have to put on there. I mean, maybe you guys remember this guy, right? This is Christmas vacation, and he knew how to do lights on a house. Maybe a little overdone, right? But if you think about him, that's a classic overstressing, right? We maybe even do some things so that we don't deal with other things. Maybe we do and keep ourselves busy so that we don't have to think about work or think about finances or think about a medical condition or how we're parenting our adult kids or our young kids. Like, we like to hide that piece and just be busy doing something else. So I work, obviously, on the staff at Cornerstone, and Beth Ann, the head of children, is this person. She just never has enough lights on her house. And so if you ever are way out in the boonies of Caledonia, you can see the lights coming from the Fernandez home. Okay, here's another thing that, oh, well, here's what it looks like. I didn't realize, I forgot they were two. So if you've never seen the movie now, you probably want to. It's pretty funny. All right, the other thing, sheep don't sleep well when there's social friction. Again, I don't know how shepherds know this about sheep. How do we know they're feeling some social friction? But for us, we know it. In fact, when it comes to the holidays, there are a lot of family issues, right, that stir up and cause friction. Sometimes we get agitated because they don't agree with what we think, and then it starts this whole conversation and things we just don't really want to get into. And so, in fact, I mean, Thanksgiving was recently, and how many of you had to change the subject? So you start by just interrupting, can you pass the potatoes? And you hope that that will change it. Or maybe you start, what about Michigan? Okay, did you watch the game last night? Pretty great. Okay, but some is just that one up. So your sister tells a story, so you have to one up it by telling a story. And then, of course, there's competition between other relatives and siblings and parents and friends, and then it becomes this thing, and so it gets us restless and all stirred up. So we don't sleep well, but we don't rest well. And finally, Sheep can't sleep if they're hungry. Maybe you can't either. But if you just think about this for a minute, I mean, sheep, it's obviously their stomach, but for us, it's a different kind of hunger. So think about this. When there's something that is in your life that's left you a little, feeling a little empty, or maybe a little off, and you just feel like you're missing something, that can stir us up. And so we tend to then fill our hunger with something that kind of numbs our feelings. Maybe it's scrolling social media, maybe it's TV or a movie, or maybe it's a great book or knitting or whatever it is that you fill your time with in order to not have to deal with the thing that you know you're missing. Rather not feel the pain. Rather not think about the person that won't be at Christmas this year because they're with Jesus. Or we think our life's okay. It's all good. I'd rather just go after these small things than the big one. For many of us, we numb ourselves or we overdo it because we'd rather not deal, so we hide. We're not sure if we want to rest because then we'll have to really deal with what we're hiding from. And because this passage says, "He makes me lie down," the reality is that the shepherd will only lie down when the sheep do. And the sheep will only lie down if their needs are met. So how do we walk in that? How do we bring that over? Keeping busy is not a 21st century problem. David obviously needed to be made to rest. When you look, think about the picture you just saw about Israel, when you finally found green pastures, it was something to take advantage of and to use it and to make hay while the sun shines. But David says that God made him rest even then. We don't want this to be a season where we're exhausted. We don't want this to be a season where we're so busy doing that we miss the season. Since we have a good shepherd who does meet our needs, how then do we do this? How do we stop overdoing it and allow ourselves to be as we do? There are things we want to do. There are things that we enjoy. But as we do them, can we still focus on what's going on underneath? I mean, some of you have discovered this. Some of you maybe have gone through enough things in your life that you've learned how to stop and smell the roses, so to speak. But others of you, if you're honest, you're literally going to implode if you don't figure out how to get some rest in your life and how to let go of some things. Not necessarily sitting and being all quiet, but allowing something within you to find some peace. I know that some of you are just wired to do. You're actually more comfortable resting when your hands are busy than when you're not. And I understand that. I have people in my family like that. But in the midst of all of this, let's not forget the reason behind it. Now, I can say that. That doesn't mean it's easy. I watch my husband. He cannot hardly sit still, but yet his heart can be still. And so walking in that with him reminds me. But in this season, when Jesus comes, and we just sang about it, and the love that he brings, he also came to bring peace. We would say shalom. Now, shalom is a greeting like aloha. It means welcome and goodbye. Like it's one of those all things. But it also has a peace element behind it. That's a more accurate translation of what this word means. It implies that there is a complete lack of conflict. So some people would think that shalom is a lack of conflict between nations, like that they're at peace, they're not at war. But also think of it as peace between people as you sit with them. Or maybe it's an element of the kids aren't actually fighting. Oh, shalom. But the shalom that we want to think about when we think about Jesus is an inner peace, an inner element that doesn't matter what's going on the outside, it's what's going on the inside. Whether you're sitting by the Christmas tree or you're out working in the yard, it's an inner peace. And unless we're intentional while we shop, while we wrap, while we bake, while we decorate, then we're going to lose track and our soul isn't going to feel at peace and we're just going to get busy doing. And this is a season where we see peace on earth everywhere. It's even over here. But peace, internal peace, is something to go after. Well, there's a story in Scripture. It's in Luke 10. It's one that you may have heard before, but it totally focuses in on the idea of being so busy and so much to do that you lose total track of the purpose of why things are happening. And in this story, the woman involved, her shalom is completely gone. She's got no inner peace and no outer peace. And so here's how the story begins. In Luke 10:38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. So, like, this just makes me think Thanksgiving, okay? So she came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." You can just see it. You all have someone like this in your household. Maybe it's you. But here we have two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha has her home. I'm sure her brother Lazarus is there. And let's be real, she probably doesn't normally invite 13 men and some women over for dinner. So what has she had to do to feed all these people and their men? So they're going to eat. All right, so she had to go to the neighbors and get ingredients. She probably had to go down the road to get some bowls to serve with. She probably had to borrow some blankets and some pillows. And she's been bustling to make her house ready. It's a little stressful. And they're all there. I mean, think of 15 people showing up for Thanksgiving at your house. You got to seat them. You want to feed them. Got to figure it out. And so she's saying, "Why isn't she helping me?" Of course, none of us have ever said that to anyone else in our world, right? We'd be cleaning, running around, and cooking a meal if 15 people showed up. But in the midst of that, Mary is sitting there. Martha went from stressed out to totally angry, just like that, when you think about it. She's the one who frets about it. Why isn't anyone helping them? What's wrong with these people? There are women in this group. Doesn't anyone see what I'm doing? There is stuff to do. There are people to take care of. But maybe there's more behind this story. I mean, someone has to cook the meal, right? And Jesus isn't going to say, "Oh, we don't need to eat." I mean, he was human too, so he needed to eat as well. But I wonder if there's a little more going on here. First of all, we need to understand a little element of cultural significance. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And maybe you've heard this before, that women didn't get to do that. Women didn't sit at the feet of the rabbi. It wasn't a part of what was allowed. There's a lot of different reasons for that. That's a whole nother message. But Mary is sitting there in a place that's culturally not approved of. So is Mary upset because her sister's breaking a rule? Is she jealous that she's not sitting there and Mary doing all the work? I mean, maybe she's embarrassed that her sister assumed that she could sit under the rabbi's teaching when there were men in the room. Or maybe she just wishes she'd have thought of it first. But somehow Mary has realized that spending time with Jesus is a higher priority than setting the table. Maybe Jesus invited her. "Come on, Mary, come sit at my feet. Come here. I just want to share some things with you as I teach." I mean, we don't know, but we do know that Martha felt the burden then of taking care of everything else. So what happens next is pretty interesting. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." And she is. I mean, sometimes overdoers are trying to fill a need. So maybe Martha's need is, "I just like to care for everyone and make sure everyone is happy." And she's distracted by that. Did you know that only 8 times in Scripture does God or Jesus say someone's name twice? God used it as Abraham was just about to sacrifice Isaac. He used Moses' name twice when he called him from the burning bush. Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon," when Jesus was explaining how he would deny him. And then Paul, on the road. Well, Saul, before he was Paul, heard it on his way to Damascus. And there are more. But there's significant moments when Jesus uses a name twice. And this is one of them. Now, I know that when my mother said my name twice, it was not a positive thing. But in this case, God is saying, come, I have something for you. I want to tell you something. So we can read it as Martha, Martha, kind of like Marcia, 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 right? Or we can read Martha, Martha. You're worried and distracted by many things. I like to think that Jesus would have said it that way, that he's not angry with her. He wants to help her see something. What if we did that? What if we caught ourselves in that moment when we're frantic and we're frustrated and we're wondering why no one else is helping clean the dishes and they all decide to go eat pie without us? What are we doing? Are we caught up in the unappreciated feeling that serving can bring? Or can we stop? Say, Betsy, Betsy, you didn't ask anybody to help you. Do you realize that it's okay that they're all in there enjoying each other? You can do the dishes. It's not going to hurt you. Or, Betsy, the dishes can wait. Go join. What do we do to ourselves? I really think that Jesus was trying to help Martha refocus and remember why she was doing all of this. She welcomed them into her home. She wanted them to come. She set herself up for this. So why, then, has she lost sight? And we get distracted, right? Things get blurry when we get busy. So then Jesus says this. He says, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Ooh, Jesus is sending a pretty clear message. And when you think about it, what's the one thing? Jesus. There are few things needed, indeed only one. Martha lost sight of the one thing that is the most important. Mary chose to focus on Jesus, not dishes, not cultural norms. And I get the impression that it's not that helping with dinner isn't important, it's that Mary kept her eyes on Jesus and Martha got distracted by all this stuff. And if we're not careful, we're going to end up in the same boat during this Christmas season. We can get so busy with all of this stuff and making sure everyone has the right gift and that everyone got their Christmas card and that, oh, that I made sure that I took care of, and you can keep going. And not that those things aren't important, but what's more important? I think we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in the processes and the tasks. Martha's had a bad rap for a long time because of this scripture. And I got to say that when I've been in her shoes, I have a little pity party and I have to tell myself, it's okay to let the dishes wait. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay that everything is not perfect. No one expects that. But I have learned to ask myself, who put these tasks on me? I did. So therefore, I can take them off. So, Jesus is saying, as you do, be. You're welcome at my feet. You're invited to rest. You don't have to overdo it. It's okay to be. And for those of you who doing is restful, doing is how you feel better, that keeps you moving, that's great. Just don't lose sight of why you do what you do. Jesus makes a pretty huge statement underneath this story. He has totally shifted gender roles and has said women can learn. He's not saying what Martha is doing is bad as a woman. He's just saying you can do both. But it's okay to catch your breath. You know, Jesus, I'm sure, felt busy sometimes. I mean, think about it. He went from town to town to town, teaching and healing. He had to get away by himself just to rest. It's okay if we do the same. Jesus is saying, look at this moment and focus in. I think sometimes we think that productivity and rest are opposites, but they don't have to be. We can do and be. But when we're in those moments of doing, we have to catch ourselves before we get frustrated and anxious and compensate and say, oh, Betsy, I probably take three times to wake up and go, remind, don't forget, Jesus is the reason we're all here. This is to celebrate his birthday, our rebirth day. So I want to close by giving you a couple of things to think about and ask yourself. When you get in that moment, ask yourself, am I doing too much? Am I making this more important than the moment that it should be? Is it worth hurting the relationship for it or mending a relationship? Maybe you need to ask what you're compensating for or if there's actually joy in it for you. And if there's no joy, then why do you do it? And I'm okay if others don't do what I do. Are you okay when you do things that others don't? And have I made this more important than the season we're in? Whatever your answer, are you willing to make adjustments in your life so that you're not overdoing, but allowing yourself to be and remember? Jesus has given us permission to sit at his feet, but also to go and do. We just have to remember that he created the green pastures for us to lie down in as well. In fact, as we think about so many different things, you know, you think about the Christmas carols that we sing, so many of them are calm. So many of them help us to slow down. The ones that really hit our hearts are when it's silent and we're allowed to rest in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for your reminders throughout Scripture, that from way back in the Psalms with David to the Gospel of Luke, you teach the same thing. You have given us green pastures to lie in. You provide for us. So we don't have to overdo. We don't have to keep ourselves so busy we don't think. Lord, not that doing things, we know that's not wrong, but may it not keep us from hiding. May we allow ourselves to really rest in who you are and why you sent Jesus to us. Lord, I just thank you for stories like Mary and Martha to remind us that we're invited to sit and rest, but we can also walk with you as we go along the way. In your name, amen.